watch Survivor, and when the show ends, you really wanna talk about it with like-minded friends. It might be hard to find some, but don't you shed a tear. Check out the Purple Rock Podcast, and this is what you'll hear. John will make some dumb jokes, and he likes to yell and curse, and if they're not available, the backup hosts are so much worse. Spend the whole time being jerks, telling you you're wrong, and so we got this other jerk to sing you our theme song. It's the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast.
Welcome to the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast. I am John, my co-host is Andy, and we are talking Survivor Season 46, Episode 4. I guess they just call it Survivor 46, but whatever. Anyway, we're talking Episode 4, which might feel just a touch familiar, honestly. I don't know. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. But Andy, how did you enjoy this episode?
The opposite of enjoyment. There was zero. You know what? Zero is an exaggeration. There were probably moments where if, like, you know, I was in the Nielsen rating box, I would have, like, ticked upwards on the controller thing I'm holding. But most of it would have been pointing down, down, down.
Oh.
God, can we end this soon? Whatever button that would be.
Hey, that's the second time God was invoked related to Survivor this week.
Yeah, and he's like, ah, why do you do this to me? That was me talking to my TV about him.
Yep, I understand. Someone in our comments actually said, like, they initially thought that Banu was pointing at a producer, and, like, that would have made it a whole lot funnier.
When he was doing that, I said to my wife, is he talking to Jeff?
You know, God. If he's just breaking the artifice and he's just pointing right at a certain producer, like, why did you cast me?
I hate you for doing this to me.
You, it's like, bastards. Yeah, no,
we're all here. I feel you on that one because I have similar questions.
Yeah, I mean, not going to surprise you that this was too much, man. This would have been a bit of a struggle as a 60-minute episode. 90 was just, that was a beatdown. That was a little too much.
Yeah, I think at 60 minutes, this episode tops out. Like, its best effort would be meh.
You're right.
Like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes happens that way, you know?
Yep.
90 minutes, it was fucking dire.
Yeah, and the problem is that there were definitely some things going on. But, I mean, really, once you get to the fact that, like, the Purple Tribe, I forget their name already, is going to lose the challenge, it's like, okay. Well, shit. What have we wasted our time? Like, everything else in this episode just feels like filler, which it was necessarily filler.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, especially when they lose a challenge, you know, and then I appreciate the candor of both the, Yanu members and the episode itself, where we were just going to commercial after it, and they're all like, Banu, we gotta go. Yep, I'm voting for Banu. There's no doubt about it. It's Banu. And, you know, the only times usually in Survivor they'll do that is, bahaha, that person is going to flip things around. Of course we know all avenues for flipping are not available to Banu. So yeah, that was tedious. But even before that, from the moment he tells Tiffany about his actions the week prior or the day prior in their lives, they're right back to, oh my God, how do we deal with this Banu guy? And then he's immediately spiraling, and it's just like, this is what I didn't want. This is what I had such a hard time with last week. And now there's more of it. And thanks to, you know, the scheduling gods, a lot more of it.
Well, there was someone listens to, and I think it's Stick to the Plan, in our comments section, listens to the Probst podcast. And Probst was apparently talking about how, you know, they just decided to write this as like a whole Banu going through the stages of grief and acceptance and all that. And I was like, I mean, sure. But also, I think that was your only option, because there was no way you were going to be able to, like, put together a red herring thing here, because just, there was no one that even in a confessional you could, like, take out of context to get, like, oh yeah, maybe it won't be Banu. No. There was, what other story are you going to tell? Like, it was 100% everyone was absolutely like, it didn't even need to be discussion. Like, they're all going to vote for Banu. So,
yeah, I mean, this is what happens when one episode is the story of why one guy is just failing his way out of the game. And then that story isn't able to be completed due to an act of God.
Yep.
You know, in Banu's mind, a literal one. And then, yeah, we just get right back at it. It's like, we already saw Banu's farewell episode last week. Now, they did throw in the question of whether it actually is going to be Kenzie. And I guess I should say that, you know, Tiffany at least suggested in this episode that she was considering it on some level. I still don't buy that she would have done it. If for no other reason that I believe Banu would have given more reason, perhaps in the conversation that Jeff interrupted for that, why it had to be Banu. But yeah, so it's just like, oh, good, we got to go through this again. And then there was like some hope. It was like, maybe they win a challenge, he'll calm down. But there's no way. Like, just the way that guy was, he was always just going to be such an emotional vampire to both the people that were there, but also to the viewers. And it's just like, I can't do this. So I'm glad it's over. But I would have liked it if it had been over, I mean, especially one episode ago, but the very least 30 minutes fewer
right.
than it took.
It, you know, and he was just out here trying to win a million hearts, not $1 million, Andy. So it.
Why didn't you go camping?
That was so good. Also, the win a million hearts thing coming up again just reminded me of, like, you know, when they do like fun, I assume they do this in Canada, right? Like, they'll have the little fundraising chart, like, how far are we to our goal, right? And you're like, the meter is filling up. And it's like, win a million hearts. And he's just got this like little tiny red line at the bottom. Like, it's just, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that there. Thermometer is still, yeah. all that mercury is still at the circle. At the
yeah.
bottom. It's not
yeah,
starting to go up the tube.
It's looking like the Arctic up there.
I do like Tiffany. It's like, if you want to win a million hearts, go volunteer. And yeah, man. We'll get into that in a bit, very soon, but it's just the biggest point I want to make. And, like, I obviously don't try very hard, but I would prefer not to always just make it a referendum about this, but I do think it's important when it's this bad to really highlight that these things are too fucking long. And I know, like, a lot of Survivor fans have been clamoring for 90-minute episodes forever. Not ever, but for a while now. And some of that's just because they just can't get enough Survivor content. Some of it's because they're used to international editions where there is a lot of content. And I want to make clear, like, I think they're genuine when they say that. And I think they enjoyed the last season as a result of it. But this is why I've never been in favor, amongst other reasons, but this in particular, because I don't know that any episode has been made better by adding 30-minute episodes than episodes like this are made worse. So yes, I think maybe some episodes have been made better by being 90 minutes, probably. I'll concede that.
Yep.
But much better than they would have been. Versus how much more worse it feels to be watching a bad episode of Survivor and it go on forever.
I think there are certain episodes. It's probably every season, if not every season, it's, you know,
it's
most.
Built into the structure. You can't do anything about it. The game is the game. You know?
Well, no, I'm saying that there's a merge episode, generally yeah, speaking,
where you could do it.
You could pull that off, right? Like a premiere. Always you could get a 90-minute episode out of that. There's going to be points within a season that just won't sustain. Now, especially with a faster paced, fewer days out there season, you're not going to sustain.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. We're getting, and I did this math earlier, now I've lost it, but you know what, like so we're 7 hours into this thing, man. 7 hours and like nothing real of consequences happened yet. 7 hours and 4 episodes. So we have like 80% more Survivor that we've watched or something like that.
There's
that's been documenting like 50% less Survivor than like an actual Survivor than the past. So it's like, not only are we getting episodes that are longer, but they are covering so much less.
We are dealing with Survivor inflation. Like, I want to put a little Joe Biden, I did that sticker on it. That's a reference that to American politics. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but that is a thing that people in America were doing when gas prices were high. They put little Joe Biden stickers pointing at a gas price and say, I did that. You know, the president of gasoline, where he hits the button that makes the gas prices go up. So I'm going to do that to this season of Survivor. They're like, I did that. Joe Biden, Survivor inflation. How dare he?
So we actually did a similar thing where I live.
Did Trudeau do these things? Did he make gas expensive?
Yeah.
Oh, how dare
that's what
he?
The provincial government was doing. They were putting it on the pumps. Like, it wasn't even just vandals.
What? This is like a government sanctioned.
Yes. Now, not like a picture of Trudeau and his like finely coiffed hair or anything, but they wanted to everybody to know what portion that you were paying at the pump was Pierre Trudeau, or not Pierre, this kid. Justin Trudeau's carbon tax.
Oh. They should have just put the Trudeau thing on there. At least you'd have like sexier gas pumps. That'd be nice. The handsome man, that guy. I think he's held up. I don't know. I haven't seen a recent picture, honestly. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, not he following. Stopped following this a while ago.
No, yeah.
Oh, I tuned out. You guys might be preoccupied.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's so much more covering so much less. And yeah, it's like we had a commenter, one of our long times, who says like he hadn't caught up on the season yet. And then it's like, there's 5 hours. I'm out. Like, there's just three episodes.
Too far in this point. Yeah, it's too much of backlog. Not willing.
And I think, it was 5.5 because 2 hours, 2 hours, 90 minutes.
Whoa.
So this is why I've always just like, no, you say you want it, but you don't. And that's not fair. I think so many people are probably still satisfied, but it's just like, think of how bad this was. Think of how they had to fill this episode. And you might have thought like Mariah Can't Jump was a delightful little segment. I didn't mind it, but it also, I would not have missed it if it was gone, right? If like those are the things that we're losing. But instead, what we're getting is just like this droning clock watching. And it's just like, I still have hope and optimism for this season, but like we've watched 7 hours to get rid of three incredibly hapless people and like medically evac one, like, zero presence person.
Right.
This is longer than Dune, man.
This is venturing.
This show isn't good enough.
It's like Lord of the Rings territory now. We're going deep. Couple things. One, we're definitely doing a deep dive on Mariah's jumping later. Another thing is just like, earlier point, like I think a 60-minute episode where you're left wanting a little more, like that's so much of a better thing than what we're getting, right? Like you don't want to feel as though you weren't given a complete story, but if there's something left on the table that makes you want to tune in next week, like that's not a bad thing. Like if you're thinking, you finish the episode of Survivor and you're like, oh man, I wish I had more Survivor. That's a better feeling than being like, my God, I just watched too much Survivor, right? Like you would rather just have a little something extra that you weren't given, you know?
Yeah, it's better to leave the table a little bit hungry,
right,
than regretting how much you've eaten.
That has hit many an Indian buffet, I can confirm for you that there are many regrets when you eat much.
And that's just where we've been this past two episodes. And that's why I wanted to highlight it more. It's just, I think it's worse to feel this bad about having to watch it for this long than it is being like, oh man, I really wish there had been more scenes. You know, it's like, throw those onto websites, let people view it there. And I think where it comes from, and some of it is because there's a lot of like stuff now in Survivor. They've jam-packed it with stuff that eats at time, right? The explaining of things. So there's that. I also think there's like, you know, it's admirable to some degree. You and I don't share this sentiment at all, but like just it's more fair. It gives more people time. You and I could give a shit
right
about giving, you know, anything near equal time. I actually think if we're getting a lot of equal time, that's probably a signifier that the season isn't going to be very good.
Right. There has not been a time that happened where I was like, yeah, that was an amazing season.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh, cool. So nobody's standing out. So they're just parsing out the time, man. I trust me. It's better if, like, the best player has the ball in their hands more often.
Exactly.
That's just how the sport goes. So, like, it comes from those good places. And again, some people watch, like, a whole ton of Survivor. They really like it, right? And they, even if they sound a little funny when they're talking. But that's, no, it's pace. This is what is designed to be, and it always has been, a plot-driven, exciting show, you know, cutting to commercial breaks. Usually it's on an action beat. It's not designed to be this language, just kind of hanging out and chilling and getting a sense of these people's adventure. And that's what 90 minutes are going to be more often than not. And for the people that enjoy that, you got it. And I know the counter argument is like, well, like early Survivor was very languid, right? Like sitting around not doing much in Australia and Africa. But the format was so fresh that it still felt exciting. It was still, oh my God, who's going to go? At that time, you also cared a whole lot more than we do now about the results of these little mini contests and stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's just so much filler. And maybe that's the other thing. You and I are not big reality TV fans. Most reality has tons of filler, and Survivor has always been admirable in the way that it doesn't. Like, they don't lead you up to a commercial break with some shocking reveal and then replay the, you know, the lead up to it, like most reality shows do. But yeah, it's been a whole lot of filler. And there will be episodes this season, I'm sure, that'll be feel packed and feel satisfying that we got the whole story. There is, you know, the extra time gives the editor some, you know, chances to play around. But it's just like, I don't want to watch that long when it's this repetitive.
And I want to be clear that you kind of mentioned this earlier too, but similarly, I am still optimistic about this season. I feel like are still plenty of interesting players left. I think there's going to be good gameplay. I still think Tevin just has that vibe of star to me. There might be more of them. There's some that are creeping up on my radar. But
I think, like, the results of this episode bode well. Like, we're, you know, getting past what we had to get past through is going to, I think, help.
Agreed. Yeah, because you want it. Like, last week was the time for Banu to be gone. This week was 1 week too many, but at least now he's gone, right? Yep. Like, this was the Banu arc that was... It was done. It was time to move on. And now we're going to move on, which is great. One thing that I have noted is that, you know, even with 2-hour episodes that eventually turned into 90-minute episodes this season, it's only been occasionally that my wife has asked me to, like, fast forward through the episode, like, makes that, like, you know, roll the finger around, like, okay, let's speed this up. Let's wrap this thing. This was one of those weeks. I feel like this should be a recurring segment where I tell you, like, this will justify whether it was worth 90 minutes or not. Because if she doesn't do that, then clearly the episode had enough content to sustain entertainment. This was a no. Like, she's like, all right, wrap this thing up.
I guess counter to that, in the favor of this episode, I suppose, this might be the first one this season my wife was able to watch all of before she fell asleep. But there's a giant asterisk. We started watching it earlier than we usually
do. I was going to say she inhaled like 3 cups of coffee. Like, pounding some Tim Hortons. I'm going to get through this thing.
I mean, it's the thing, like, on regular nights, often it's like, hey, you want to watch something? And it'll all be like, I have to provide like 2 options. Yeah. A half hour show and an hour long show.
Yeah, exactly.
This motherfucker's, like, giving me 90 minutes. You're not that good, Survivor.
Right.
Again, I'm not, like, mad at the show. I understand the economics that went into this decision. And basically, there's no content. This one, you know, we don't write this show, or at least we don't write it with union workers. we certainly don't use actors. So that's why this is my, Survivor fan opinion, why I want this to be the last season I ever have to tolerate regular 90-minute episodes.
Well, let's actually talk about some of what went down in this episode. First of all, we already mentioned the Banu arc has finally come to an end. Let's wrap up our Banu thoughts. I'm sure you probably went through them all last week, but I wasn't here. And obviously, I was never going to listen to that if I wasn't here. Wouldn't listen to it if I was here. So let's let you start. How do you feel about the Banu arc and its resolution?
Yeah, so I'll summarize my take from last week, which is probably like half an hour long. So let me try to, tighten that up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you could just make it at like a tight 2 minutes, that'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe even shorter. Last week, I said that Banu may have been my least favorite contestant of all time, excluding people that have like, done like really morally horrible things, So like, he wasn't out there assaulting people on the island. I didn't hear about anything since then. So excluding like those things, that's how much I disliked him. And it's because his whole shtick, the way that he's just emotionally falling apart and like leaning on people for, he's a middle-aged man who's constantly like begging people to do things for him. And it's just, it feels bad watching. It feels like it's like I'm indicting myself by, my entertainment product is just fucking destroying this man's whole emotional well-being. And the fact that he just seems to not grasp the very concepts of the environment, show, and game that he's in, it's just like, why am I watching this? And it's not that I like need him to be a good player. I know the show isn't like looking to cast good players. They're looking to cast good television. I support that decision. But the very basics not only seemed like beyond his understanding, there was a part of it that he felt like was like beyond his morality. Like it was like, how are you doing this to me? To me, it's like, it's not about you, man. Everybody's here for them.
Right.
And they should be allowed to be that way. I should be allowed to watch it. People shouldn't have to worry about how mean they are when they are trying to compete for $1 million rather than make this, again, middle-aged man feel bad.
Well, I mean, when he's saying, how could you be doing this to me? Like, oh, would you prefer that we did it to Kenzie? You think that Kenzie deserves this instead? Mm-hmm. tell me who deserves it more. Like, who deserves this sadness of being voted out, Banu? Just let us know.
Especially because, who's really doing this to you, Banu? It's you.
Right.
They tried. They kept trying. They kept voting other people out that weren't him. And all we want from you, man, is to shut your fucking mouth about a few things. That's it. And then he's like, oh, they think I'm awful and all that. It's like, actually, they've actually been more patient with you than, say, I have as a viewer.
Yeah, I am not as down on Banu as you are. I got some measure of entertainment out of him. There were definitely parts that I cringed at. This is where I'm a bad person. Like, I've dealt with people that do the, too emotionally needy thing in my life. And it's more enjoyable to see it happen to other people than to happen to yourself, not me this time. So in that respect, I can be like, no, been there. I understand. It's terrible.
He meets the slightest resistance. And that man is literally, I'm not making this up. Obviously you guys know this because you watch it, on his hands and fucking knees begging. What?
It's pretty bad. The thing is, regardless of the fact that I had gotten some entertainment value out of him, I was done. Like, this was too much. Last week was where it would have ended for me, and we still got another week. So I was like, okay, let's go. But it occurred to me, as I was watching this, Propes loves to say that, Suri got up off that couch. It just feels like maybe Banu should have stayed on that couch, right? Like, yes. he just wasn't for this life.
He might be the least prepared person for the like emotional and strategic realities of this show in the history of the game. And that includes people who were having mental breakdowns on the island. People that put the machete away and they had to gently talk to for fear of harming people. That includes, old ladies who are singing songs on their ukulele. Like, it's just, they were never actually asking that much of him, and it was so hard for him, and he felt so persecuted about it. And I think that's the part that I just couldn't I couldn't find the humor in or whatever.
Right.
All his fucking bullshit. Oh, they're so mean to me. And like, we want to talk about morality and who's the bad guy. Cause I know there's been some, probably more places I don't deign to hang out, criticizing the other member of Yanu for the way they're treating him. The shit that he pulled on Exile Island was so much meaner than anything that was done to him. He goes over, meets two new brand people, and he starts just making up lies about what they're saying. They're saying that I was worthless and I'm such an idiot.
I'm a fool.
That I'm a fool. It's like, the only person we saw calling you a fool, granted, we don't see it all, but the only person we saw calling you a fool was you, Banu. You said it. It was you. And now, like, that's going to scar them the whole game. Forget, like, you know, the strategic parts of, like, telling them that they're together. The one moment they kind of went underrated on that. That's when he says that, and Liz is like, oh, yeah, we all figured that. It's like, yeah, is there a reason why you guys were all assuming that Q and Tiffany would be together?
Here's the other thing. Like, not pictured in that episode was, did they also mention the part that, you know, Banu's, like, falling apart and crying on a table? Like, because, you know, when you add that detail to it, it's like, oh, well, maybe he's not a reliable narrator. Have we considered
maybe,
this?
But maybe you're also like, oh my God, this man is being tortured like nobody in the history of Survivor. Like, right. Cochran was treated better than this. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's made these people out to be monsters just so that he could get more, and not even sympathy, pity. That's what the man is after, is pity in all things, to including the part where he's begging people to help him find an idol, people that he knows want to vote him out.
Right. What?
Yes, Banu, let me help you prevent the thing I'm trying to do, because I pity you that badly.
And, you know, we see Banu, he's getting coached up by Q. As you know, Banu, big Q follower, super invested in Q's theories of how this all works. And so it was just very entertaining to see that, you know, Q's stuff that he's coaching Banu up on was just elementary stuff, to the point that you think this cannot be a thing that he needed explained to him, right? Like, it almost, my wife was in after, like, is this an act? Because he's claiming he's seen every single episode of Survivor. And so she's like, well, that's preposterous. Like, there's no way he wouldn't know. However, you and I have both seen over the years Survivor Facebook crowd, Survivor Reddit crowd. It's entirely possible, right?
Yeah, I have no trouble believing, like, it's the easiest thing about this episode, that somebody could both be a super fan of Survivor and also understand very little about Survivor. Frankly, it's probably a strength of the show that it can be so many different things to so many people. But all that said, I don't know that anybody's been less equipped for, like, the emotional realities of this show. It's just, they're not asking him for much. They are not the masterminds that they think, you know, that he thinks they are. It's just that I think he wants to be here for different reasons, you know? And I think that's become a problem, the way that, like, the show is, you know, and then obviously Probst is positioning it, that all these people that are here to try to, like, for the experience. Yeah, I'm here to win a million hearts, and I was here to share my story. And it's like, man,
my journey.
Yeah, and cool for you. This is a TV show, and I think that the pendulum is, like, swung too far. So 39, it was really bad, right?
Yeah.
To the point where, like, I rank that as the worst season of all time, breaking kind of our brand of saying, no, that's Nicaragua. Largely because that was a season that made me, like, maybe this show, like, that the whole thing it is, the game, is bad. And what does that say about me that I like it? That, like, the reward structure has gotten so bad that, like, being legitimately victimized now makes you threatening, and, you know, people can't do the decent human thing because that could be bad for the game. Like, that was a bad place, so the show had to correct. But now we get all the way to the point where we get somewhere with Banu, who, like, seems to, like, treat the concepts of, you know, Survivor as, you know, immoral or acts of God, and that, like, people who don't help him are, you know, mastermind monsters. And it's just like, man, we need to get back to people understanding. And again, maybe I'm overreacting to one dude, but there is more and more people talking about the experience and how they want to be here for that, that I wonder if it's getting in the way of the product.
You know, I would say that to some degree, I was at least inspired by Banu. Because if I'm ever on this show, like, my whole thing is I just want to blame God for everything. Because just God is not... God gets a whole lot of praise, you know? There's a whole lot of thanking. And it's about time. You know, God caught some of this heat. So that would be my whole thing. So, you know, Banu, you're a pioneer on that front, and I appreciate you. but I get what you're saying about the, like, did they overcorrect? No, in the sense that, like, 39 was so bad that that palate needed to be cleansed in a very, very large way, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, the correction was, needed to happen.
Yes. And if it swings too far in this direction, I'll take that over it being that 39. Because, you know, I keep Nicaragua in last because you're right, that is our shtick. But that season was just very disheartening to watch as a human, right? Like, yeah. This, there might be some eye rolls, some cringe, but I'm not ever thinking like, man, am I like catering to society's worst impulses by watching this show, right? Like, it's, there's never any guilt. Like, this is just, these people are out there having fun. They're trying to live their best life. Oh, tell me your inspiring story. Great. Like, I don't care about your inspiring story, but I'd rather that than seeing, you know, some truly terrible things happening in real time.
Yeah, and ultimately, like, 39 was, like, an outlier.
Thank God.
But it did make, that, yeah, like, while I was watching, because here's the thing, I wasn't even, like, somebody who joined the masses of just absolutely, you know, destroying everybody that was involved in it, because I actually could kind of understand, based on what was happening and the flaws of the game, obviously not the initial act, but the reactions to it, because it's like, even the victim was like, well, maybe I won't vote that person out. And it's like, oh my God, that's what survivors become. What am I doing with my life? I can't support this. Right.
Right.
So yeah, again, corrective to that. And just sometimes this pendulum can swing too far. And hopefully, and the great thing about pendulums is, you know, they do swing back. Right.
Well, I think how they work. I think that, yeah, I mean, that is how physics works. So, I think another thing is that they are capable of leaning into the fun that actually happens on island, right? Like, I think part of this has been when there's shit happening that's fun and interesting, they will show that. They pad with some of this backstory stuff, right? Like, the there's, and also when the cast just isn't bringing the heat, like, yeah, you get a little more backstory in that situation. Like, you're going to get some regardless, but like, I think when they have a cast that gives them a lot to work with, they'll still, like, just, it's not going to be necessarily all about your experience and share your story and all that shit. They'll just show the fun stuff that happens on the island. Like, that is what they would prefer to lead with. If it's not there, I think that's when we see the stuff we've been seeing.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm not sure, because I think the show is casting more for it, you know, if you got a sob story. Like, I think Jeff Probst, it may be in reaction to 39. Like, man, like, that had to have been a very panicking moment for a producer of a television show, right?
Sure.
And then also a reaction to, you know, the world shutting down not long after that I think he's just started to relish this, you know, Ricardo Montalban Fantasy Island type shit that he gets. Like, that feeling that everybody's so into it. And he's, like, granting their lifelong survivor a wish. I had to get it, man. It probably feels good. Instead of going from a bunch of contestants being like, yeah, fuck you, Jeff Probst, to like, oh my God, my guru, Jeff Probst, you're amazing. And it's just because I think it's like, how do you get a fail, like, casting fails so badly at Banu? And again, you never know how people are going to react. He, right, you know, Probst right now is defending it, like, man, it was a great ride, bring him back.
Yeah, I don't know how much bad casting. Like, I would take him over someone that's just a void. Like, Randon was a void of entertainment for me. Like, at least I had opinions about Banu.
No, give me 10 Randons before Banu.
Oh, like, you're insane.
No, I don't find it entertaining to see a drowning man on television that, like, makes me question if Survivor is, like, evil. Like, that's, like, where he was getting at.
Oh, and I didn't.
It's just like, I feel like he's just so emotionally, like, this show is not good for people's psychological welfare. That is an established thing.
Yep.
how do we think this guy's going to handle it? Like, he couldn't. This is the important thing, and I mentioned this in comments. This was like two votes in where this guy is just falling the fuck apart. We are not deep into this season, okay?
He hadn't been there a week yet.
No. And it's just like, oh my God, everything's, everybody hates me. Like, this man, two strangers, and he's on his hands and knees crying in front of them. That's a lot. That's kind of heavy. That's like somebody breaking the pact when you say, hey, how's it going, man? Don't want to know if it's bad. No,
don't tell me the story.
So just that's where it's just like, it's because emotional in there. It's like, oh man, this is going to be gold. And he's going to talk about his story and it's amazing. And it's just like, man, it's fine that you have some of that. But I actually think it's incongruent to the game of Survivor when everything's supposed to be uplifting. This is actually not an uplifting competition. This is a eliminate someone every episode competition. And
it's
I worry that the show has kind of forgotten that. You know, they've gotten some, you know, fun, you know, and good endorphin raising out of some of the positive experiences and frankly the great thing that they did with diversity. And they've forgotten that this is still, and again, response to 39, I get it, but it is still, you know, a cutthroat competition for $1 million.
Where
the game pieces are the people.
You know, you just brought up something that I'd meant to discuss last week if I had been on. The diversity thing we have not discussed in several seasons. And I was thinking the other day, like, how great that is, right? Because now you just don't notice. It's just what Survivor is, right? Like,
yeah, no, it's a good equilibrium in that point, because 41 had some growing pains in that. And that, like,
yeah, of course.
Anytime a black person wanted to vote out another black person, they were like the traitor to the race.
Right. Both. But I think, you know, now that problem has been resolved, right? Yeah, people are just.
That was the point of it.
They're comfortably operating in the space, which was, yeah, exactly. It is working as it was intended. This is like, that's wonderful. And it's done it so seamlessly that we have not discussed that in many seasons. And like, they do deserve praise for this. Like, it's worked out so well.
Yeah. And again, I do want to reiterate, I'm not out on this season. It's just
not remotely.
It's been a tough 3 hours. And that's a lot of, again, man. We don't watch movies because they're long. No. And those things are like crafted.
Wait, we? You do. You watch movies.
I don't watch nearly as much. Obviously, yeah. I can't lay claim like you. Literally not. The narrative medium of film is just not something you're interested in. But
right.
Yeah, man, I used to watch a lot of movies. Now it's like, oh man, 3 hours. That's a big commitment.
Oh, see? Welcome to my world. That's exactly what it is. It's like,
yeah, but for you, you're even 90 minutes is a big...
I know.
Not that they make a lot of 90 minutes movies anymore, but...
All right. Let's get back to some Survivor. There was a bit of talk about Tevin maybe targeting Soda this week. Do you feel like that was a good idea, or is this just like some filler? Is this him strategizing far too much when there hasn't been a single vote yet?
Yeah, I'm of two minds. And obviously, part of that is the conflicted nature of I just want to support anything that guy does.
Yeah.
I'd say it has the smell of playing too fast, too early, you know, the post-merge game. Here's where I'd offer a possible why it would be okay. If Tevin's starting to get to the point where he would rather work with everybody on Nami that isn't Soda, well, then, yeah, man, you know, it's like, if you're going to tribal council, it's like, you know what, actually, Venus could be useful to me. Liz could be useful. Obviously, you know, Hunter, he's in with. So then it's like, well, then that makes sense to turn against somebody who's an ally in Soda. But that was more the stated reasons he gives. He's more like, she's going to be a threat near the end. It's like, you're pretty far from the end, though.
Yep. Yeah, and that was kind of my thought. It's like, are we really talking about the end? Like, you haven't even voted out a single person on your tribe. We haven't hit the merge. Like, we have several episodes before we get to the actual merge. Like, we'll get to the fake merge before that. But like, really? Now we're talking about the threat of the final jury? Come on. It's a little absurd.
The other thing is, I don't think he's right. I don't think she's actually that socially dangerous.
That's the thing is, you know, we saw her talking to everybody on the tribe, but like we've seen Venus saying like, oh, no one talks to me, no one relates to me, no one's on my side. I don't think Soda is either. I think that like that is not something that's now forming that they're suddenly buddy buddy. Like they just showed Soda talking to Venus. That's not their buddies. I don't think that that's ever been a thing. They were just talking.
I think it was until Soda realized that Venus wasn't useful to her socially, and then she dropped it, like literally said, I should not talk to you much right now. That was tough. And yeah, I mean, I don't think Hunter's on board with Soda. Like the very fact that Tevin faced no pushback to the idea of voting out Soda would probably tell you that Soda actually isn't as good a social player as she would seem to be. She's doing the actions of a social player, but I don't know if she's landing the feelings of a social player.
And so here's another point where I was like, Tevin, I don't know about this. That conversation with Liz, right? Because you can have these thoughts and discussions about like, oh, should we turn on Soda? And like he did feel out Hunter on that a bit, which I think is probably fine, right? Because that's his closest ally. You know, it might be him and Soda, whatever. You haven't lost a challenge.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't need to throw Soda's name actually out there. You could just kind of say like, you know, hey, if we did go to tribal council, like what sort of things are you thinking of? You know, like don't put Soda's name out there because unless you have a tight relationship with Liz, which I don't think he does.
No, he's trying to make her become Soda in this group. Yeah, no, like, yeah, Lockdown Hunter. And then, right. Yeah, if it goes down to it, it's just like, well, hey, Venus, Soda wants to vote you out. That's your third of five. Here's the other thing. That's
exactly.
Tevin has an extra vote. It's easy to forget, but he does. You don't need everybody, you know? So it's like, yeah, I'm fine with the idea. I'm fine with the plan. I'm fine with, you know, but it's like, yeah, you don't need to get that around too much because it could be weeks before it comes to fruition.
Exactly. Way too soon. But speaking of plans, let's talk about the Green Tribe, which I am loath to do because I feel like they've given me so little this season.
They've given us one consistent thing that we will get into again this week.
We will. I got to feel like that well is going to run dry at some point.
You think?
But every week. Anyway, so this week we saw Jem trying to convince other people that the Beware Advantage was hidden in a like place where she had not found it. And those motherfuckers
they excavated a tree.
So here's the thing. I think once you started seeing underneath the roots of the tree, that's the point where you think, was this show going to make me do that? Was it going to require 2 hours of me digging? Probably not, right? Like there is something that should tick in your brain that'd be like, you know, this is a televised entertainment program. I don't think they would have me digging for 2 hours straight in hopes of finding a box. Like, no.
That's why the entire time the segment's happening, I'm like, what is she trying to achieve here?
Yes. Okay. So it sounds like then you are probably on the same page as me because as I'm watching this, I'm like, it just seems like this is relatively low risk, but also very low reward. Like,
there's reward. The only reward, and to her credit, she does mention, like, it's boring out here. So fucking around with people is kind of entertaining. And like, to that degree, I can respect it because that's always what I've said. The only value of a fake idol is, but as it's going on, I'm like, there's actually risk here that you haven't factored in. At some point, they're going to realize they've been had.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's sort of on your same note there. I am all for doing something that only entertains yourself. I mean, you've listened to this podcast before. You know this. But, like, I'm walking through this in my head, like, what her plan might be, right? Let's say that this convinces someone else that Tim has the idol and he's hidden the Beware Advantage. what if now they're just afraid to vote out Tim?
Like, yes!
The level of reward for this might be less than zero, right? It might be a negative. Yeah. Because then, you know, there's six people in your group. If now they're afraid to vote out one, well, you've got a 1 in 5 shot of being that target, right?
I know. She's like, I'm going to put the target on Tim and take the heat off me. Well, one, there was no heat on you.
Nope.
And two, hey, that's not necessarily a target. This guy has an idol, so we need to vote for him. That's not how it works. It's more like, if this person is the person I want to vote for, we should be concerned whether or not they have an idol.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, and again, now you've set it up so that if they want to go after Tim, you have to do a split vote scenario.
Which, and you've got six people. How hard is that to do?
I'm not confident they all have their vote. You know who doesn't have their vote? Jem! Jem doesn't have her vote currently, nor does she actually have an idol. So, yeah, man, the whole time, idol, I just couldn't figure out what. And Ben doesn't have a vote. He did a good job of explaining that, like, I might, you know, like, I liked his lie about it last week. But, man, like, yeah, in a tribe of six, only four of them are guaranteed to have a vote next week. One of them could have an extra vote, but those never get played. And one of them is Tim. And, yeah, so they're going, like, aha, I did so well. I put the heat on Tim. You know how the heat got on Tim? Is he's the one that's socially isolated right now. So that's who got picked. Because, yep. You know, they came to the idea, it's like, okay, well, somebody probably already found this. And then it's like, oh, how about Tim? And everybody's like, yeah, sure, because, you know, he's not currently allied to us. But it might not take long for it to be like, hey, wait, who was the person that suggested it was Tim? Like, I think she's playing with fire here for no reason other than her one stated is like, hey, it was fun watching people fuck around. It's like, yeah, but I don't know. Couldn't you just watch Ben and Charlie talk about songs or something?
Like, well, I mean, it's sort of the same thing. Like, if you wanted entertainment, just, you know, not go camping, do something more entertaining. But, like, there are other avenues for that, right? Like,
Try a fake idol. I'm saying fake. I just couldn't. Like, what is the fake out? They're going to get it, and then they're going to open it, and then they're going to realize that there's no part two. Like, it's telling them to do something. And yeah, I can almost understand they kept digging because it's like, well, it said it was here. And I'm sure at some point they're like, this can't be this hard. But they're like, oh, what else do we got to do?
Right. We're bored.
So yeah, and then from that boredom and just doing it, yeah, you get Charlie being like, I bet somebody's already found it. And at that point, is she just like, oh, God, I made a huge mistake? Like,
No, at that point, I think she thought she was a genius. She's like, aha. It's not good. I do not support this.
She was the first person in, like, forever Carolyn, who didn't tell somebody about the thing that she found. And then what is her subconscious looking for ways to tell people?
Right. Just sabotaging it. Because, like, she was sitting pretty. She had that beware advantage with no one aware of it. Like, she could have just been, like, out there hunting with the rest of the group and just played along for as long as necessary. Wouldn't have mattered.
And there's the other thing, like, if you're gonna do that, you know what step two is? Hide a fake idol. Dig under this tree, get an idol, and then somebody would pull that out, and then they would stop being like, well, there's nothing here, that must mean something.
Well, see, then, if they found the idol, they'd be like, well, where's the paperwork saying that it's an idol? But again, this is not the only failure within the Green Tribe this week. Let's talk about this challenge, because...
Both of them! In fact, both of them. I want to talk about both of them.
Yeah. Let's. Number one, what's going on with Tim at the challenge?
His ideas for how you manage dealing with something on a floating platform. Twice, man. So his first is like, I'm going to stand on this thing instead of on the boat. That did not work so well. I'm like, you're already under the water with it. How about you untie it down there?
Right.
And then his idea of, I'm going to avoid going in the water by jumping dead stop on this floating platform. What?
Right. And again, he's familiar with how waves work, right? Like,
he should have been. He already went through this, you know?
Right.
And the first one I could almost understand, you know? I don't want to rock the boat, literally. But when that fails, like when he had that just struggle with staying on a floating platform, his next idea was that I was going to jump straight onto it. Maybe see, that's why he had such trouble climbing onto the buoy. It's like, well, I'm not doing that again.
See, I was wondering, I was like, is this style points? Is he just like trying to stick the landing? Or is it like, is just one of those like, I still got it. Like, you know, when that takes over and you do these bad decisions, like I've been a victim of I've still got it. It's gotten me injured many a time. So that's what I was thinking is like, did he think this in his head? Like, ah, oh, watch this. I'm going to make this jump and stick the landing. I got it. And just he clearly.
And then he had to stand there for like 3 minutes while like, everything stops moving.
Well, that's the thing. It's like. Thing. It requires so much, like, you know, you're tilting and so you're like exerting your body's force to like level back out, right? It's just like that slow thing, like when you're leaning yourself up until you can finally get enough momentum on your side.
I just don't think it ever would have occurred to me that I'm going to jump from platform. What are you, fucking Mario?
Right. It's just, it's one of those things that like, what was it in your brain? Did you think that was going to save you time? Was that what it was? Did you just not want to get wet? I don't know what prompted this.
You're already wet, man.
Right.
Fine.
Right. I don't know, man. Another thing about that challenge, which did get discussed in our comments, Adam B., longtime follower of this trend, like Hunter, exceedingly good at throwing things into things or on things. Like that
or
is
off things.
Or yeah, right. Like underrated survivor skill, right? Like that has come up in so many challenges, and Hunter has mastered it, man. Like the guy is on fire to the point that we reference how on fire he is in this podcast, the image for this podcast. So
yeah, as soon as you get them into your hands, it's over. Did you make a Rick Barry reference while watching?
No, I did not.
I did. Yeah. Well, Tevin's like, oh, he's got it like Jordan. And then he throws the first granny style shot. And I'm like, Rick Barry, actually.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure Tevin doesn't know who that is, but...
Right.
And then my wife's like, huh? And I say it again, and I'm like, yeah, he's the last guy to shoot it underhand like
you're that. You're like, wrong audience.
He shot like 95%. He was really good at it.
This is me explaining any internet reference to my wife. Yeah, and then, of course, last but not least, we had Mariah and the whole jumping thing, which...
That was something.
Honestly, kind of felt like a lie to me. Like,
look how bad I am. It's like,
I feel like I can fake not being able to jump. Like, not that I can jump well anyway, but I could definitely fake being worse at it.
Hey, buddy,
I don't understand why.
I heard what the guy said
that.
At the gym said about those box jumps.
Listen. But also, you know, I am more of a running form guy than a jumping form guy, but. Just watching that jumping form and the flailing and the feet kicking, I'm like, I don't know, man. If someone came out and they're like, I'm gonna try out for your track team, and they just flailed like that, I would feel like I was being punked, right?
Yeah, and obviously the Birkenstocks aren't helping in this regard. Sure. That, you know, she barely got off the ground high enough for them to start slipping off her feet. But yeah, man, it's like, are you engaging the knees at all? They're an important element of this.
Right. Here's the thing. I'm bad at basketball, and yet I understand the movements involved. I can't do them well, but I understand what they are, right? Like, you instinctively know what jumping should look like, right? You have at least some like vague grasp of what a jump is and what it entails, what it engages in your body.
She was out there jumping like a toddler, you know, a little uncertain on their feet.
Crazy.
Here's another thing from that segment is like, this just shows how much we as a people have just completely colonized African-American vernacular to the point where Mariah gets out on national TV and is like, homegirl can't jump.
Oh,
wow. We just take it all.
Yeah. Phrasing. Also, she gave a confessional saying that her friends like, no, she can't jump and that this was going to come up. And like, okay, when has this ever come up amongst your friends, right? Do you think that she's like playing 3-on-3 with a bunch of people she podcasts with and that's where they saw it? That's where it came out? Because that's the only venue that I can think of where your friends would be like, oh yeah, you know, Mariah is just, she can't jump. Like, she's physically incapable of
it. Maybe they have to help her up curbs. I don't know. Yeah, man, if she is, though, that would be finally the podcast that I'd take two of you with to try and like, we got next.
Yeah. Exactly. We could put Cardboard Emily up against her.
Because I do like, obviously, I have to respect our long-running jokes, especially when they're all, like, just inside jokes.
Yeah.
But, like, you guys get that I actually could play some a bit, right?
Anyway. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you would absolutely be the Kobe of that 3-on-3 game, and I'm not lying in that I would shoot approximately 10%. So,
like my flaws are from being a 46-year-old out of shape man, but I can play, and I have, and I do. Anyway, yeah, man, that was, and you know, like, again, it was an enjoyable segment, but it was also would have been fine if that was like a bonus feature in a 42-minute episode.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. Like,
I'd rather spend time with that than, you know, Banu falling apart again.
Yes, exactly. It's just, it did occur to me. I'm like, why would her multiple friends of hers know
about this is her a matchup? Thing. And
right. I mean,
time will get the tragic backstory of how she like lost every tendon in her knee or something. I feel like it would have come up here though.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, again, we've somehow been doing this for 10 years and you tangentially mentioned box jumps, which we won't bring up. That's an inside joke. But like, I had known you 10 years before that came up, right? Like, the jumping abilities of your friends are not often a thing that you're aware of, I wouldn't think.
No, I mean, yeah, obviously I play basketball with my friends sometimes. Those, sure. Not all of them, sure. Yes. Yeah, no.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how my coworkers jump. No idea.
Right. Exactly. Hey, the guy who does the theme song for our show, Mike, I don't know how well. Okay, is he a great jumper? Like, did he high jump in high school? He could jump over 6 feet? I don't know.
Man, we got to get all of the PRP out there at the combine, just smacking that with the arrows and stuff.
Oh, it's going to be so good. All right. Let's stick with the Screen Tribe because it is time for, I think, what must be
the weekly segment.
Everybody's favorite weekly segment, which, again, I can't believe they're still giving us material, but like, I appreciate it. Let's do this. So this week, your top three Van Halen songs, Andy.
Yeah, so obviously Ben makes a reference, and then Probst makes several references during the
more
challenge
than one.
As well. Yeah, and one thing like how this has become a weekly segment, and yeah, you can bet like we won't ever strain; it has to be organic.
Yep.
But if it's there, we're doing it. Is I do not think Ben and I's Spotify raps share a lot of crossover. You know, I mean, obviously mine is also largely dictated by the listening habits of my 11-year-old son, but
with my kids too.
If Ben starts mentioning Weird Al Yankovic, I am ready.
Oh, me too. That's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, please. So yeah, it's another week of I'm doing it. I have the songs, but I'm not like a Van Halen guy. You know, okay. I don't have my David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar take. Do you have a loyalty there?
No, I mean it's just that's slightly before our time. Like they exist, right? Like you're aware of Van Halen. But
for me, when Van Halen was part of a zeitgeist that I noticed, it was Diamond Dave. So I guess if I had to choose, you know, and obviously like, I was alive for the other part because it came afterwards. But, you know, it's mostly just like Crystal Pepsi. Number three for me. All my three are David Lee Roth. But again, like I've never heard a Van Halen album. The thing about Van Halen, where they are is obviously the virtuoso guitar playing of Eddie Van Halen. And then the other part that's really important is they are just unabashedly and uncomplicatedly horny.
Mm-hmm.
So my number three, and with keeping that in mind, is Hot for Teacher.
Oh, mine too.
There we go.
Unproblematic Kings of Rock just wrote a whole song about how they want to bone their teacher.
And you know what? Like in terms of problematic, like that's actually okay for like young people to have, these feelings of sexuality. It's the reverse. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not for students.
The song isn't, mutual sexual affair that's actually rape. It's, I want to bone my teacher. We have no indication that is a two-way street.
That's true. It is a good point. like I said, unproblematic. Kings of Rock. All right, let's go for number two.
I took your three. How about you do you pick go two first?
I mean, two is the one that was referenced in this episode. Jump, like appropriately cited in this episode. One of their biggest hits, I assume, because I've heard it. So I'm going to say Jump for me.
Yeah, for me, Jump, I just, when I hear it, I think of like mix CDs that the, like the phys ed teacher would play in elementary school, like when we're doing like fitness week or whatever. So like, you know, we listen to Jump and then listen to like the Pointer Sisters, I'm So Excited. And then I don't know, maybe Technotronic or something. So it's tough for me to like put it in a top three because of that association. But of course, yeah, it's their big hit. For my number two, I'm going to go with Everybody Wants Some.
And I don't know that I've even heard that song.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that this is mostly influenced by the Richard Linklater film with the same title, which you've never heard of either.
I was going to say, and here's where you've lost me.
But no, it's, you know, certainly one of their songs. So, and you know, it's Van Halen, hard rocking about being, you know, fun. And again, I think you can infer what the sum is.
Yes, I can. Again, they are notoriously horny. Number one for me, Panama.
Yeah.
Great Survivor location. Great Van Halen song. No complaints. You get the guitar on full display. I think it was like a Guitar Hero song back in the day. I think that's why I have fond memories of it. Panama's number one for me.
Yeah, same. And my reasoning is that song fucking rips.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Banger. All right. Anything else, Andy?
Nah, that's more than enough.
Yeah, it really is. Man, I can't believe we... next week, though, we don't have to talk about Banu anymore. We're done with that Banu arc.
That's right. Next week, instead, we'll be talking about, like, Motley Crue or something. Oh, here's a little thing for everybody, if you're wondering. The bandage on Ben's chest was to cover up his Motley Crue tattoo.
I did genuinely wonder. And someone in our comments said that maybe it was Metallica. And I was like, please let it be Metallica.
Yeah.
It'd be so much funnier.
Yeah, like as soon as I saw it, my wife's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, he probably has a tattoo they can't show. Yep. He showed it on Twitter. It's not like their logo, but it's like one of, yeah, it's a Motley Crue tattoo. And he also said that as much. So, you know, I better start studying up.
Oh, man. Oof.
That's the thing. Like, again, like, and I could have had three Metallica songs. It was more important for us to do that bit.
Sure.
But it's like, I don't know if at any point he's going to get to a band where, like, oh, I have real takes here, you know? But it's still fun. And obviously, everybody else listening, share your top three Van Halen songs this week. Do not skip ahead to Motley Crue. Top three Van Halen songs in comments, which you can leave on our website at purplerockpodcast.com.
You can. And you can email us if that's a thing you want to do. If you're like, oh, man, I really want to email these people. Apparently, you could just do that. We do have an email address.
That's right.
PurpleRockPodcast@gmail.com. Send us all your insane ramblings and we will ignore them.
Nah, people just fucking love Turn of the Millennium communication venues. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I got. Anything else?
That's it. Let's hit some theme music.
This is the copyright-free outro to the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast.